and now Evangelist David Shannon.
So we'll open your Bibles to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy, the first chapter. How do we build a church? How do we come together as individuals and make up the church of Christ? Well, we know that Christ must be the head. And we know from our studies that each of us fulfill a function within the body. Tonight we'll begin several lessons that we will study from 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and Titus. A very powerful study, I hope it will be. I hope that after our energies in study and after my energy in presentation that together we will not be the same after we study how Paul says to be the church of Christ. Paul writes to a younger preacher named Timothy. These three books, the 1st and 2nd Timothy and Titus, very oftentimes are called the exhortation to preachers. Oftentimes it's called something similar to the guidelines for preachers. But I think it also is a very powerful book for congregations to study. Now you remember Timothy, his mother was a Jew named Eunice. His father was a Greek. His grandmother was Lois. Now it's believed that in Acts the 20th chapter, in verse 25, it called your remembrance. It was the time when Paul was leaving Ephesus and he called all the elders together. And they all were very sad. And Paul said, I'll never see you again. And then he went and he spent 6 or 7 years in prison in Rome. Now it's believed that perhaps during his time in prison for those 6 or 7 years that his plans changed. And that he was able to come back through Ephesus, but only for a short time. And so, when able to help so many new converts there, he left Timothy. And he went on to Macedonia. And so now Paul writes back from Macedonia to Timothy. And he gives him some powerful words in 1st and 2nd Timothy. And also writing to Titus about those in Crete. I hope we'll learn from this. I hope that this study will benefit us in being the church that we should be. The first thing I want us to see, really chapter 1 and the lesson this evening as an introduction into the next lesson. I'll give you an example. See there in the second chapter? In the second chapter it says, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, and so forth. So you see, really, Paul does not get into the meat of what he is writing about until the second chapter. Now what Paul is going to do is he's going to write and give Timothy sort of a list. Timothy, you watch for these things. You make sure these things are happening there. Advice from an older preacher to a younger is what he's doing. But notice how he begins in the first chapter in verse 3. Paul writes to Timothy and says, as I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some of them that teach no other doctrine. Notice there, that thou might abide still at Ephesus. He was saying, Timothy, stay there. Brethren, too oftentimes we give all the glory to those that go. I know when Tracy and I moved to Long Island, it was unreal, the comments from friends and other Christians. I can't believe you're going. I can't believe that you'll actually leave Tennessee. I can't believe that you'd move to New York State. I can't believe that you'll move to Long Island. And so much emphasis was put on going. I can't believe it. But yet very, very little emphasis is put upon a man such as Paul Rogers in Centerville, Tennessee, that has been there for 35 years in the same pulpit, longer than any brother in the brotherhood. So little emphasis is put up on the men that stay places 10, 15, 20 years. And really what Paul was saying to Timothy is, stay. The glory is not in going. The glory isn't in hopping around. The glory is staying with the work and making it what it should be for the glory of God. I think the same is true for members. There's no glory in church hopping. There's no glory when some little something happens. Well, that's all right. I'll just go somewhere else. How do we build a church? How do we build East Gadsden to be even stronger tomorrow than it is today? We start by saying, I'm staying. I'm staying. I'm not leaving. You're not leaving. We're in it together. And we're going to serve God together. And we're going to be the Christians that we should be together. I think that's such a powerful key for any organization, is to have stability. Why should the church be any exception to that rule? How great it would be if all of us will realize Paul knew from wisdom the importance of staying with the work and working with it. Notice what he said about staying. Don't just become a decorative fixture, in a sense, is what he's saying. And the following few verses he says, Timothy, as you stay there, you become involved in that work. Notice what he said in verse 4. He challenged him. He said in verse 4, neither give heed to fables. That was the Jewish fables that many were paying so much attention to. And also the endless genealogies. There were those that wanted to trace back their roots to see if they were of a Davidic order or if they were of a priestly order. They wanted to know who was most holy just by their bloodline. And they would spend hours and hours arguing and studying just so they could prove who was the most holy. And so Paul writes Timothy and he says, don't you get caught up in those things. He says, you be active. Now I want us to notice, here's the emphasis for us this night. How do we be active? He says in verse 5, now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart. Now think back to this morning. We talked the entire sermon about love. Love as Christ loved us. Now for several weeks in our Sunday morning adult class in the auditorium, we've also been talking a great bit about how our heart, our soul, is to be in a proper motive. In a sense, what Paul did, he said, let's put these two things together. Let's make sure that the love that is within us is from a proper motive in the heart. So he says, first of all, Timothy, you have a pure love. Second, you have a good conscience. Brethren, wouldn't that take care of many things? Wouldn't it take care of so much of our spiritual life if we would just stop going against our conscience? Now, that's not to say our conscience is always right, but it is to say that many, many times it's a good guide. You know, I've heard someone saying, it's so wise, I'm not so afraid of the things I don't know. What bothers me is the things I do know, but yet I can't keep them. That's good advice. Have a good conscience. The things we do know that is right, let's keep those things. And then let's study the Word to make sure that we're not omitting or forgetting something else. And here's the third thing that he says to them. And have a faith unfeigned. You have a sincere faith. Not a faith that is one that is shallow. Not a faith that might be, even in the wrong areas, a faith of false doctrine. You have a sincere faith based upon a good conscience, based upon the pure love. See, pure love of Jesus Christ will produce the good conscience that we should have. Will produce the unfeigned faith. Now, Paul, why do I have these things? Because I want you to stay at Ephesus. Because there's so much work to be done. But then he says, in my words, he says, you make sure your breaking point is stronger than Satan's breaking point. You know, when you load a camel, as the old expression is, if you keep loading him long enough with straw, finally it'll be one straw that breaks the camel's back. Here, I think what Paul was trying to say is you make sure that you don't become overloaded with the problems of these people. Notice he mentions just real briefly one of the problems. Now I'm sure there must have been many more problems other than the two he's already mentioned. You see there in 6 and 7? He talks about the vain jangling or the vain talking, the vain words that they were using. In verse 7 he says, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm. So he says, Timothy, you're going to run into some people that they're not going to make any sense. Their teaching is going to be against the Word of God. They're not even going to understand what they're saying, and they're not even going to believe what they're saying. So he says, there's your challenge. I want you to stay in Ephesus. I want you to be active. I want you to have the right heart. And this is why there are those people you must confront. But Paul gives him the solution. And brethren, tonight, let us find strength in this solution. Verse 8. But we know that the law is good if a man use it lawfully. Young Timothy, young preacher, don't forget the answer to any problem is the law. Notice what it can do. Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and the disobedient, for the ungodly, for the sinners, for the unholy, for the profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for the men stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be anything that is contrary to sound doctrine. Brethren, that's powerful. And if we start to believe that with all of our heart, we'll build a church different from the traditional churches of Christ. Now, is that good? I think so. It's going to break tradition, though. Why do I say that? Because traditionally, we have been maybe not so much led to believe, but we've fallen into the habit of let's take the word to those good people in our community. Let's take the word to those in our community that are already good moral people. And here he says, young Timothy, you remember you have a law that can change the man that murders his own mother. You have the law that can change the man that steals people and sells them as slaves. Says you have a law that can change the homosexuals, the whoremongers. You have a law that anything I failed to mention, anything that is against the doctrine of Christ, it can reach out to them. Brethren, I hope tonight, we believe, all of us believe that we're going to stay. Stay and be active because of our love in our heart. Because of our good conscience. Because of our faith. And we're going to offer a law to this community that will reach out and that will change any life. One of the saddest statements we can ever say is, that person's too wicked to teach the Bible to. And you know, there's people that believe that. There's people that believe that someone is too wicked. And here, in a sense, is what he tells Timothy is, this book is for anyone. It's not for the righteous men. Sometimes we want to think that. Have you ever stopped to think what the Bible would say if it was for the righteous man? Wouldn't it be one page? Wouldn't it be one sentence? Keep being perfect. But no, we have something that's written for sinners. It helps us find righteousness. And it will help our neighbor find righteousness. And it will help the man in prison find righteousness. And it will help every soul find righteousness. And when we believe that, we're on our way to building a strong, faithful church. But he closes with a charge. You know, I can try to imagine what would a coach say to the football team before the Super Bowl. What do you think he says to that team? I don't know exactly what he would say, but surely he would give them some kind of encouragement. Team, we've worked all season for this. Team, we either have been thinking all season we'd make it or we never dreamed we'd make it, and here we are. However the spiel would go, in a sense, Paul, as we've already seen in the second chapter, is going to start into the meat of his lesson. But he wants to make sure Timothy is ambitious, ready to serve. And notice what he says in verse 18. This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee. And here's his charge. That thou by them mightst war a good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience. This evening, are we ready to fight? Are we ready to stand up and to face Satan? Are we ready to make any wrongs that are in our lives as individuals right? Are we ready to make any wrongs within the congregation right? Are we willing to stand up and say, not only am I here a member of East Gadsden, but I'm an active member. A member that loves the Lord with all of my heart. A member that has a good conscience. And a member that has a faith that is very sincere. and I'm ready to take the answer to all problems and learn about it and help others. Brethren, if that's the case, we're ready to war. We're ready to begin a series on Paul's advice to building a strong church. Brethren, we need to make sure, though, our soul is right with God. If our soul is not right with God, we need to start there. You know, you don't build a house anywhere above the foundation unless the foundation is there. This evening, I hope that we can look throughout the entire makeup of the church within the coming weeks. But this evening, we need to make sure our foundation is right. Have you become a Christian? If you haven't, that's where we need to begin this evening. If you have become a Christian, but yet you've fallen away, let's all get on the right track this evening. Let's all follow Jesus, walk in the light as He is in the light, so we can have fellowship one with another. If you need to come forward, ask forgiveness of sins, be baptized. Why don't you come as we stand this